state law does not offer protections based on sexual orientation or gender identity.
Don't you think you're rushing into this after 30 years? No, we're not rushing into it.
I can't change, even if I try, even if I wanted to.
You're worth more than who you attract. Your self-worth is not contingent upon someone else's attraction to you. You have to find that within yourself first.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Finland's same-gender couples will have to wait 2 more years for marriage equality. A lone lesbian couple ties the knot in the Lone Star State. And singer-songwriter Mary Lambert shares her secrets. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Sarah Sweeney.
And I'm John Dyer V.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news inter-affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending February 21st, 2015. Finland's president, Sauli Niinistö, signed the country's marriage equality bill into law on February 20th. It squeezed by parliament in November by a vote of 105-92. But lesbian and gay couples in the last Nordic country to open civil marriage to them will have to wait until 2017 to truly make it legal. Niinistö told reporters that Parliament has to change other laws covering health, welfare, and social care, for example, to comply with the revised version of the Marriage Act. He said the law should come into force on March 1, 2017. Finland has allowed same-gender couples to enter into registered partnerships since 2002. But over 160,000 people signed a petition last year calling on Parliament to make the country's marriage laws gender-neutral. That's more than triple the required number of signatures to force Parliament to discuss an issue. And this was the first proposal created by the Citizens' Initiative process in Finland to become the law of the land.
The Republic of Ireland's Prime Minister, Enda Kenny, told public broadcaster RTE this week that the date has been set for this year's national referendum on marriage equality, May 22nd. He said he supports equality very strongly. The exact wording of the referendum will be, "Marriage may be contracted in accordance with law by two persons without distinction as to their sex." A recent poll found 70% support for equality, but also that 1 in 5 potential voters remains undecided.
Alabama Supreme Court Chief Justice Roy Moore created confusion and uncertainty last week when he ordered all probate judges to ignore a federal district court ruling overturning the state's ban on civil marriage equality. The U.S. Supreme Court refused to lift a stay of that district judge's ruling on February 9th, which should have officially opened civil marriage to lesbian and gay couples. According to a February 18th tally by the Human Rights Campaign, probate judges in 13 of Alabama's 67 counties were still issuing marriage licenses only to heterosexual couples. 6 were not issuing license to any couples. The rest of the counties have complied with federal law and are issuing licenses to both heterosexual and same-gender couples. Moore has vowed to disobey a possible ruling by the Supreme Court in June that could open civil marriage to lesbian and gay couples nationwide, claiming that what he called God's organic law takes precedence.
The mayor of Tokyo's Setagaya district, or ward, said this week that he may follow the neighboring Shibuya ward's move toward issuing partnership certificates to same-gender couples. As we reported last week, Shibuya's mayor announced that his government would ask the municipal assembly to approve a statute in March that would offer such certificates to gay and lesbian couples, even though they wouldn't have the force of law. Setagaya mayor Nobuto Hosaka hinted at the creation of such certificates in his ward at a coming-of-age ceremony this week for LGBTI youth, later tweeting that, "We will strive to create a society that values diversity and respects human rights." Setagaya is Tokyo's most populous ward, and perhaps also its most LGBTI-friendly. It operates a hotline for sexual minorities and holds annual seminars for officials on LGBTI equality issues. Japan's constitution defines civil marriage as exclusively heterosexual. A Shibuya official told the Kyoto news agency last week that partnership certificates were a completely separate system from marriage. Meanwhile, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe has rebuffed a proposal by the opposition party to make civil marriage laws gender neutral, telling Parliament this week that the nation's constitution does not envisage marriage between people of the same sex.
Colombia's Constitutional Court decided this week to maintain the current limit on joint adoption by same-gender couples to the biological children of either partner. Judges of the nation's highest court voted 5-4 to impose that limit after 9 hours of deliberation. They had allowed a woman last year to adopt her longtime partner's child. Even though joint adoption of non-biological offspring is not open to lesbian and gay couples in the South American nation, disappointed activists still noted that this week's ruling affirms the right of all Colombian same-gender couples to adopt their partner's children.
Two men were arrested in Baton Rouge, Louisiana this week under the state's sodomy law, even though the U.S. Supreme Court declared all such laws unconstitutional in 2003. Louisiana lawmakers have consistently defeated proposals to remove the anti-gay statute from the books. Baton Rouge Police Department spokesman Lieutenant Johnny Dunham told reporters soon after this week's arrests became public that the chief wants to send his apologies to those individuals involved for making that mistake and has contacted supervisors to make sure this doesn't happen again.
But homophobia is not limited to the U.S. South. According to a February 20th report in the Casper Star Tribune, lawmaker Harlan Edmonds, a Cheyenne Republican, was kicked out of the Wyoming House Labor, Health, and Social Services Committee during debate on a bill to protect LGBT people from discrimination. While the bill would take effect on July 1st, Edmonds proposed an amendment to change that to "when hell freezes over." As Republican Committee Chairwoman Elaine Harvey of Lovell opened the discussion, she insisted that it be civil. Many longtime observers said that while some members of the public have been tossed out of committee hearings, this was the first time they'd seen a lawmaker ejected. After assurances that religious exemptions were strong enough, the House committee voted 6-2 to advance the bill. It's already passed in the Wyoming Senate.
Meanwhile, a judge in the U.S. Pacific Northwest has ruled that religious belief does not provide a license to discriminate. In a case involving a florist with strong Southern Baptist beliefs who refused to provide flowers for a gay couple's wedding, Benton, Washington County Superior Court Judge Alex Ekstrom noted that, for over 135 years, the U.S. Supreme Court has held that laws may prohibit religiously motivated action as opposed to belief, and that no court has ever held that religiously motivated conduct, expressive or otherwise, trumps state discrimination law in public accommodations. Washington law specifically bans discrimination based on sexual orientation, as do Oregon, Iowa, Vermont, Colorado, and New Mexico. Businesses in those states, including a bakery, wedding venues, and a wedding photographer, have all lost similar cases in the past few years. But 29 of America's 50 states offer no such protections, and it's perfectly legal in those states to discriminate against LGBT people.
And finally, it's also perfectly legal for a Detroit pediatrician to refuse to see the newborn child of two lesbian moms seeking care for their baby because Michigan has no LGBT anti-bias laws. Even though the couple had received prenatal care from Dr. Vesna Roy, another doctor greeted them 6 days after their daughter Bay's birth when they brought her in for a checkup. He told them that much prayer had led Dr. Roy to turn them down as patients. Roy later sent the couple a letter apologizing for not informing them of her decision in person. She explained that she would not be able to develop the personal patient-doctor relationship that I normally do with my patients. One of the lesbian moms, Jamie Contreras, told the local Fox TV station that,
"As far as we know, Bay doesn't have a sexual orientation yet, you know, so I'm not really sure what that matters. We're not your patient. She's your patient. And the fact that you can't, your job is to keep babies healthy, and you can't keep a baby healthy that has gay parents."
The American Medical Association explicitly prohibits such discrimination by doctors. A policy statement by the American Academy of Pediatrics opposes bias based on a number of characteristics that include sexual orientation and gender identity or expression. But Michigan law, or a lack thereof, allows anti-LGBT discrimination. Contreras said she and her spouse, Krista, knew that confronting homophobia was almost inevitable. They just didn't think it would happen so soon.
You know, here we are, new parents trying to protect her, and we know this happens in the world, and we're completely prepared for this, you know, to happen other places, but not at our six-day-old wellness appointment.
That's News Wrap for the week ending February 21st, 2015. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Sarah Sweeney.
And I'm John Dyer V.
In case you missed it, the Oscar for Most Inspiring Acceptance Speech at the February 22nd Academy Awards could have gone to Graham Moore, Best Adapted Screenplay winner for The Imitation Game. It's the story of British World War II code-breaking hero and father of the modern computer, Alan Turing, who was ultimately persecuted and driven to suicide for being gay.
When I was 16 years old, I tried to kill myself because I felt weird and I felt different and I felt like I did not belong. And now I'm standing here. And so I would like for this moment to be for that kid out there who feels like she's weird or she's different or she doesn't fit in anywhere. Yes, you do. I promise you do. You do. Stay weird, stay different. And then when it's your turn and you are standing on the stage, please pass the same message to the next person who comes along.
A unique love celebrated in Texas is the same love celebrated in song. Later in the program. Repressive measure in the Razorback State hasn't received much attention from the media or the politicos, but it didn't escape the attention of MSNBC's Jose Diaz-Balart.
A story has gotten little national attention, but some are calling a big setback for civil rights. In Arkansas, it will soon be illegal for cities to enact discrimination protections for the LGBT community. The bill is called the Interstate Commerce Improvement Act. Republican Governor Asa Hutchinson says he's not going to sign it, he's not going to veto it, and without doing anything, the bill will become law on its own. We called Hutchinson's office and received a statement that says, in part, the governor wants to prevent, quote, burdensome regulations while remaining concerned about the loss of local control. Joining me now from Little Rock is Andrew DeMillo, the Arkansas Capitol correspondent for the Associated Press. One thing this bill reminded me of is kind of SB 1060 in Arizona, where we saw businesses, you know, Apple, Chase, airlines say they're not going to go do business there if your state makes these kinds of laws. Is there any similarity here?
We haven't seen business groups saying that yet. You know, part of the argument that sponsors had made for SB 202 here in Arkansas is they had argued that not having this uniformity of discrimination ordinances across the state would be a deterrent to businesses moving here. One of the problems with that, though, is that the sponsor of it hasn't really named any specific businesses that have not moved to Arkansas because of a lack of uniformity in these ordinances.
And so what's it intended to do?
What it'll effectively do is bar any city from adding any protections for the lesbian, gay, or bisexual community, because it bans them from going beyond what's spelled out in state law. State law does not offer protections based on sexual orientation or gender identity. This is really in response to, there was a city last year, Fayetteville in northwest Arkansas, had passed an ordinance that extended those protections to sexual orientation, gender identity. That measure ultimately was repealed by voters, but this was an effort to try to prevent other cities from following Fayetteville's path.
Not everyone has been as willing to discuss Arkansas's SB202 as MSNBC's Jose Diaz-Balart and the AP's Andrew DeMillo. The state's brightest political stars, Bill and Hillary Clinton, have yet to shine their light on the situation. Some pundits suggest that the movement and its heavy hitters prefer not to be at the forefront of what they see as a losing battle. Still to come, singer-songwriter Mary Lambert shares her secrets. But first... Suzanne Bryant and Sarah Goodfriend this week became the first, and so far only, same-gender couple in Texas to get a marriage license. Responding to a request from the couple's lawyers, State District Judge David Wahlberg pointed to Goodfriend's ovarian cancer and the ongoing violation of plaintiff's rights, deciding that good cause exists to allow the couple to marry. A final ruling on the state's civil marriage ban is still pending. Bryant and Goodfriend, together for 30 years and raising two daughters, told their story to the Austin American-Statesman.
She put it on Facebook that we were engaged.
Engaged for a really long time. Don't you think you're rushing into this after 30 years? No, we're not rushing into it.
The court order that I received only applies to this one couple.
Travis County Clerk Dana DeBovier.
The judge deemed it an important exception based on recent rulings. This couple is medically fragile, and he didn't believe that they might not survive in time to hear the court's final rulings.
Wow, I never thought this day would come. I'm so happy.
I never thought it would come.
8 years ago, we went to the Travis County Clerk's office to ask for a marriage license, and of course we were turned down. And today, I am so pleased and happy that our 30-year relationship is being affirmed, and I'm really happy for our children. She's 17 now, this is Dawn. And our younger daughter is Ting, and she is 12.
So, and our older daughter is really proud and understands the historic significance. She's really proud and realizes this is a civil rights time and that her moms have been involved in it. And that's the best.
We're just so happy to see our family affirmed, our 30-year relationship affirmed. We've had, like every couple, we've had our great, wonderful times, and we've had our kind of rough times, and anybody who's in a long-term relationship knows how wonderful it is to be able to weather these things and go stronger and find out what a fantastic, wonderful person they've been able to share their lives with. And I'm just so happy that the judge recognizes this.
But Republican State Attorney General Ken Paxton doesn't see it that way. On February 19th, the Texas Supreme Court granted his urgent request to stay Judge Wahlberg's ruling. Paxton filed papers the following day, specifically demanding that the marriage of Suzanne Bryant and Sarah Goodfriend be declared null and void.
How low can you go?
There's a lot you may not know about the singing, songwriting, and spoken word artist featured on the Grammy-winning Same Love. This Way Out's Chris Ann Eastwood discovered how a nice Seattle Christian girl became Mary Lambert.
I can't change, even if I try, even if I wanted to.
Lambert.
Yeah.
2 years ago, we had no idea who you were. How is that?
I don't know. I just graduated college. I got my bachelor's in music. I was in the process of applying to graduate school to be a teacher. but I sort of made this conscious decision. I was like, I want to at least try to be a performer, to make a record. So I made my first little EP. I was in the process of recording it. I was bartending, and then I started working two other jobs. So I was working three jobs. At the time, I had gotten into spoken word, and I was exploring being a Christian and a lesbian, and that I sort of felt at odds in both communities, and people looked at me like I was some sort of contradiction. So I was coming to terms with that in my poetry. It's funny because I got asked to write a worship song, and I was like, totally, I'm happy to write a worship song. And I sat down for about 2 hours and could not, I was like, almost wanted to throw up. I was like, this is so contrived. It feels so gross. I do not want to write this song. And equally, I wanted to write a song about gay rights. And I sat down and tried to write this gay rights song. And I was like, this feels so contrived. It doesn't feel me. So when Same Love sort of fell onto my lap by a friend of mine, Hollis Wongware, who sings on White Walls, she suggested me for the song that Macklemore and Ryan had sort of exercised all of their options. And I was very much a last resort. And she was like, you'd be perfect for the song. And I listened to it. I was like, this is what I've been waiting for. This is the song that sort of explores that dichotomy. And I get to just talk about my point of view. And I realized that the chorus had nothing to do with either religion or gay rights. It just had to do with love, which is what I wanted to talk about that entire time.
You are a songwriter. How did your Christian upbringing inform your songwriting?
Growing up in the Pentecostal church, my first influence of music was worship music, which I think is very passionate. Gospel music is passionate. People are so on fire for what they believe in. So that passion, I think, actually fueled something really important in me and sort of this emotional drive. And then as I left the Pentecostal church and then later the evangelical church, I found that for me, it was much more of a sacred personal experience, and music sort of complemented that transition, I guess. The one thing that I really have taken from leaving organized religion is that I don't have to have my prayer facilitated by someone else. And that for me was a big thing, is that I can be in my own counsel with God and have my own belief systems. And there's no amount of judgment in that way. And I still consider myself a Christian. My mom's Episcopalian and my girlfriend's Jewish. And so I get to believe what I want to believe. And I value that. I believe that everyone's journey is their own.
Well, you're an out artist, and you were out right away, no questions asked. Do you feel pressure from any avenue that you are an out, proud artist?
I think being gay is inherently political, whether you want it to be or not, and you're constantly going to be on a lens, and because the community, I think, is kind of small, at least in the public eye, you're going to always have sort of people watching your move and what do you say. And for me, I'm comfortable in that sense. I have always felt a bit like a leader and just someone that really speaks their mind. So I think really consciously about what am I putting forward, what intention is going to be out there. And so for me, I feel comfortable in that sense. I think my fan base is incredible. I feel really respected, and people are really kind to me, and I think often are just really supportive of whatever I want to say. And I think the resounding feeling is just vulnerability and love. And with all of that comes social justice-y stuff, you know? I've been through so much, and every year I feel like is so drastically different than the last that I'm constantly processing. And this is, like, writing is just a way for me to not explode.
Your lyrics really give voice to vulnerable situations. Secrets is quite a song.
Thank you. I wanted to write an empowerment song. I think that they're really popular right now, and I love that there's this wave. I love Colby Kelly's Try, and Meghan Trainor's All About That Bass. I wanted to put my spin on it, which is, I think the best way to ask people to be vulnerable is to put the lens on yourself and extend that hand as sort of an invitation. And I know for me that I used to walk around with so much guilt and shame, and I felt like half of a person. And I see people walking around as like almost shells of themselves. And for me, because I've come from a place of healing, and I've learned so much from that point, that I feel like I have something to offer in that sense. I don't want to just be a pop singer. I want to be a healer. And I feel like I've sort of infiltrated into this world, and I want to dismantle a lot of these stigmas that have inhibited me from living fully. And now that I've experienced this, you know, immense joy, I feel like I would be almost selfish to not want to offer that to other people and offer my experience in healing and what that's been for me.
I saw you when you were at Dinah this year at the Dinah thing in Palm Springs. And you made a comment about, I'm kind of known for like my sad songs and so forth, but Heart on a Sleeve is kind of a dance tune.
I am so excited about this record. There's a lot of upbeat songs, and I got through listening to that. I was like, wow, there's like more than two upbeat songs. This is amazing. Yeah, I fell in love. I met my dream girl, and why not be so excited about that? Why not write these fun pop songs? And yeah, Heart on My Sleeve is really fun to sing. I'm excited about it.
What's next for you after this tour?
I don't know. We'll see where the world goes, but I'm already thinking about the next record. I'm like, no, slow down.
Are you planning on working with anybody else and anything in the works with some folks that we may have heard about?
Sam Smith and I have become really good friends. I love to work with Sam, and also love Echo Smith. They're fantastic too, and I'd like to write with Sydney and them. So those are some people. And then, of course, I have a constant called Natalie Maines.
Mary Lambert, this has been an absolute delight. You are just it's as cute as a button.
Thank you.
Cute as a button. And I'm just so glad to have met you, and I'm so thrilled. Can you send one last message out to the young folks out there who are listening to our show who may have not come out yet or are still struggling with who they are?
I think the one lesson that I wish someone had told me at a young age is that you're worth more than who you attract. Your self-worth is not contingent upon someone else's attraction to you. You have to find that within yourself first. If you are focused on losing weight, which is a fine goal to have, but make sure that that's based in health and self-love before anything else, before then some calibration to pop culture or someone's idea of what beauty is. Your real beauty is what you determine. I think that's what's really beautiful. And then also, I mean, among many things, I've learned a lot by the people around me, and I think it's so important to have an amazing support system that you trust, that loves you, that understands you, and if you don't have that support system, then you have to make it.
I don't care if the world knows what my secrets are. Secrets, secrets are. So, what? So, what? So, what? So, what? So, what? So,
Mary Lambert was interviewed by Chris Ann Eastwood with production assistance by Steve Pride. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, Sarah Sweeney, John Dyer V, and Chris Ann Eastwood contributed program material with thanks, as always, to Steve Pride. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kitchen Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentham, and you, our listener supporters, for making this program possible. For associate producer Lucia Chappelle and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening online at thiswayout.org and on South Ribble Community Radio, Lancashire, England, WNRB, Wausau, Wisconsin, KAOS, Olympia, Washington, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Please stay tuned.